This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about them Cowboys?
That's a heck of an introduction, Rich.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Browns are going to go to the playoffs.
The Giants will finish the season at 6-10. Is it good enough?
The Washington football team has won the NFC East.
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Fox Sports college football analyst, Bruce Feldman. Coming up, Washington football team head coach, Ron Rivera. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air right here on Peacock, and we're pleased that you're joining us here throughout the day. We've got Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington football team, set to call in a matter of moments. Great chat with Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic about college football and what's going on in that world. He works with Urban Meyer, and he called it 60-40 that Urban stays, is what he said. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk mentioned here on this show that the asking price Urban is giving to the Conn family for his services of the Jacksonville Jaguars is $12 million. A lot of money, but you know, if you think that this is the guy, if you think that he can bring the CEO mentality and run the team, and also be able to handle the losing, because that's gonna come, then he's your guy.
Pay that man his money.
That's it. That's it. Lots of conversation going on here today about the way that game 256 ended. The Eagles took it as far as they could take it. Playing competitive football.
Yeah, there you go.
And they took it as far as they could take it. They deactivated many of their best players. And the Eagles gave it a game. Jalen Hurts gave it a game. And then they gave it one shot in the end zone to take the lead towards the end of the third quarter, and instead of kicking the field goal, went for it, and that's when Nate Sudfeld came in. And putting a guy in the game who hasn't played in a game in 3 years, putting a third stringer in the game against somebody like Chase Young and a defense like the one that the Washington football team fields is just not fair. It's just not a fair fight. And as it turned out, you know, Sudfeld went three and out, and then the next one he had a snap that he went to try and go get, went off him, and Washington recovered. And it was Chase Young who recovered it. That kid is just an absolute, total, complete beast. And so it stunk. It stunk to watch. And even Mike Florio said in hour number one that he wished he'd, you know, he's talked about teams that tank, and he's seen it happen. We've never seen it happen in the middle of game 256 with the whole country watching in an NFC East matchup online. He said he could have seen it coming. You should have seen it coming. But we were all watching the rest of the day, and the competitive juices were flowing, and it was wonderful to watch. And then we just wanted to see, you know, a team that many were rooting for, if you will, completely earn it against the best competition. That's what we were looking for. But the lost amongst all the conversation of the way the fourth quarter went is the story of the year, which is the Washington football team. Hiring a coach who's battling cancer throughout, as he's recounted on his previous appearance on the show in November, turning to a quarterback who had 17 surgeries and thought he could lose his leg, if not his life, and fighting to come back and quarterback a team to the playoffs, which he has done. What a story. Lost amongst all that, which is why we wanted to have this guest and friend of the program back here on a very special day for him and his organization. The head coach of the NFC East champion Washington football team, Ron Rivera, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good, Rich. Doing well.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You are most welcome. What if I had told you in week one that this is the way week 17 would end? How would you have handled that information, Coach, back then?
Well, week one, I wouldn't have agreed. Week five, I would have thought definite possibility. That's for sure.
Okay. Now, in just your own personal journey here this year, what does this division title and right to host Tom Brady and the Buccaneers for the whole country to sit in and watch on a triple header capper of a wild card Saturday. What does that mean for you, Coach?
Well, I think it is, you know, it speaks well to the resilience of our football team, to the development of our young players, and to the triumphant return of Alex Smith to football. You know, it's there were a lot of things that happened this year, a lot of interesting things that happened. You know, we had a lot of young players that we played this year. At one point, I think I counted 28 guys that were first, second, and third-year players that have played meaningful snaps for us. So they're growing and developing as a football team. We had Alex get his opportunity to get back on the football field, and as a starter, I believe he's 5-1 for us this year. So that's pretty exciting. And, you know, we did play in a division that was down, you know, that nobody took the bull by the horn. And that's why in week five, I made the move I did in changing quarterbacks and saying that I wanted to take our shot at seeing if we could win the division. And we did. And we were fortunate enough to come out on top, you know, because again, I think our guys, our coaches did a great job in terms of just sticking to it, working. And the thing that I think that was also beneficial, Rich, was just the fact that we had something to play for every week, you know, from start to finish. You know, we had a chance, especially as I said, starting from week five on, with the knowledge that nobody was running away with the division.
So what is the conversation with you and Alex Smith like? And if you don't mind me setting the story up this way, the question this way, but just the backstory of you, a Super Bowl champion from your playing days, and then somebody trying to get into coaching as you did, and then a two-time coach of the year, coaching a team that makes it to the Super Bowl, but that organization, and you part ways, and you get a new spot, and you get a new spot, and you learn that you're battling cancer. And one of your quarterbacks on the team is somebody who you don't even know if you can count on at some point because, for the right reasons, a former first overall selection in his next new stop, his third new team, trying to get an opportunity. 17 surgeries is needed to get him back on the field. What is that conversation after you are both division champions together like last night?
It was pretty cool. Honestly, there really wasn't much of a conversation. I think it was more of a stare and a look and a nod is really what it was all about. I just happened to, you know, I went around and I congratulated everybody, and he was doing media. And when we were both pretty much finished up and heading out, we crossed paths and just kind of caught eyes and just kind of looked at each other with a smile and nodded at one another. And I patted him on the shoulder as I walked by him. It really was a lot more unsaid than it really was a big conversation, to be honest.
But that look said a whole bunch, didn't it? Pretty much.
It did to me. It did. Just looking at him, and it's interesting because, you know, on up until the probably about the last 2 weeks of training camp, I really wasn't sure where Alex was, and he had asked to come see me. And so he came in and we started talking. And then, like I said, this is like the last 2 weeks of training camp. And he looked at me and said, I need to know if I can make it. I need more of an opportunity. I don't think I'm getting a fair opportunity to make the team. I really want this. I really want to. I looked at him and I said, really? He said, yes, I really want this. I got to find out. I got to find out for me. I just don't want you to gratuitously bring me along or anything like that. I want it. I want more. And it's interesting because with that conversation, with him telling me he wanted more, it made me feel more comfortable to put him in that situation where he would get more, that he was ready for it. And so I said, you know, and I had Kenny Zampezian here with me and Scott Turner. And I said, look, he wants more. And if he wants more, let's give him every opportunity. Let's put him in the middle of these things. Let's put him in these situations. Let's put him in these circumstances. And we did for the next couple of weeks of practice. And, you know, and I won't say they were live drills, but they were action drills. And so guys were around his feet. Guys were falling towards his leg. Guys were coming close to him. And he just stood tall and kept throwing the ball downfield. And it gave me more and more confidence. And that's why I kept him on the roster, because I just knew as he got more and more confidence, he would get better and better. and it just kind of blossomed that way. And it was because of his goading is the reason why. And that's the reason why he's been successful, because he's that kind of person. He wants it. He wants more.
Have you turned his leg brace into a trophy of sorts? His wife has done that?
His wife has done that? Yeah, from what I understand.
What
he
has
this brace that he had on his leg to keep it immobile, and somebody showed me the picture of it, and it mimics a Super Bowl trophy. And
that's right.
I think it's very apropos when you look at it. I mean, you really do. If you ever get a chance,
no, we're showing it on
social media.
We see it on the screen here. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks just...
It's impressive.
It is incredible.
It really is.
It is incredible. And as it turned out, Coach Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show, his professionalism is something that you desperately needed towards the end here. A couple of storylines from last night and just a couple weeks ago I want to hit with you here is the departure of Dwayne Haskins. What do you think happened, and what do you think he could potentially bring to another team that unfortunately he did not bring to yours, Coach?
Well, I think, you know, one guy's at Ohio State and he had a lot of success, but I'm not sure if just playing one full year really prepares you for the rigors of the NFL. And he had a lot to learn, and he's got I have to have an understanding of how to prepare, how to be a pro. The young man has a terrific arm. He's got good athleticism, he's got good movement skills, and he just needs to understand, learn, and grow, and mature. And I think, you know, having, you know, hit, I don't want to say rock bottom, but you know, at a low point in your career, I think hopefully this helps him, because he's a good young man, and he's just got to learn some things that will help him as a football player. He has a skill set that can help him. And if he learns and grows, and you know, and somebody can mentor him and get him to do it the right way, I think he can help. I really do. I think this also might be a good opportunity for him. And I just felt at the time that if parting ways was the best thing for us both. And so hopefully he'll get a good fresh start, and he's hopefully learned a lesson or two that he can carry with him that will help him. And help them, his new team.
And then let's get to last night's game, Coach, as I'm sure the conversation of your accomplishments got lost quite a bit in the aftermath of the game because of the insertion of Nate Sudfeld into the game when it was winnable for both teams. What did you think when Sudfeld trotted on the field last night?
I didn't think anything of it. I really didn't. You know, it's interesting when one team's playing for something and somebody else isn't, the other team can do whatever they want in terms of players they play, plays they run. I think, you know, people get upset about it for whatever the reason is. But people got to understand that a coach is going to do what he thinks is best for his team's growth and development going forward. And so I don't begrudge it, because you know, you get in these situations, people go, well, you know, look what happened. Yeah, well, look what happened to us 2 weeks ago. Nobody cared that Alex couldn't play. Nobody cared that Terry McLaurin wasn't going to play. You know, nobody said, oh, let's make it even. You know, don't let your starters play. That's what happens. And so if a coach decides something, you know, that's what he decides. I mean, I've been in that situation in the past where I said, hey, let's play them all. Get them all out there. Give them the opportunities. You know, but it's just – you know, I get it. People want to make something of it. That's fine. If they need something to talk about, that's fine. You know, I've had people say, you know, you should have never gotten the playoffs at 7-8-1, but yet we win a playoff game and we have a chance to win a second one, in the 2014 season. You know, and people say, oh, you shouldn't have got in, but at the time we were hot. We won four in a row to get there. So, you know, for us to tell people what they should do with their teams and how they should do it. That's he does what he thinks is best for his team going forward.
Ron Rivera, Washington football team head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, I don't know how fair it was, Coach, to throw a guy who hasn't played in 3 years on the other side of the line of scrimmage of Chase Young I mean, what he is doing right now is quite something. Can you compare it? Because again, you know, Jack Del Rio dropped the name of Ray Lewis when Chris Collinsworth was calling the game last night, saying that in terms of just leadership skills and grown ass man skills, this is what you know. He reminds Jack, you've been around some 85 Bears as well. Is there anybody that you can compare Chase Young to, Ron Rivera?
Oh wow! I'll tell you what, he most certainly is a different kind of football player, and you know maybe as he grows his career, you might have somebody start comparing him, you know, to Lawrence Taylor. But I don't want to go there yet. I think he has that kind of ability.
No, I could understand why you want to go there yet, but what aspects of his game do you think reminds you of him then?
Oh, his love of the game. First of all, he loves the game. He absolutely loves everything about the game.
Right.
And he's got some impact playability.
I think we just lost the coach right there.
He's one of those young guys that came out early, and you know, you just wish he had a little bit more time to continue to grow and develop. But we got him, and we're going to keep working with him because I think he's a guy that can be a very special player someday.
We're looking at him
more so than he is right now because he is a good player.
Yeah, we're looking at him right now. He went back on the field and knelt on the 50-yard line in his championship, his NFC East championship shirt, just kind of soaking it all in.
Yes.
That's a different cat right there, man. I'll tell you that. That's just
yeah, he is. I'll tell you, he's got that relentless motor. But the other thing he's got too is he's got this energy that's infectious. And it draws people to him. You know what I'm saying? And just guys see the way he does things, and next thing you know, guys pick it up, and guys get going, and guys feed off of it. You know, it's crazy because he'll go over, you know, during the game, and he'll stand next to me and talk about things. And then he'll go over and he'll stand next to he'll stand next to one of the offensive coaches, you know, the running backs coach, and he'll tell him, man, I like how the way your guy's running, man. I gotta keep him going. Or he'll stand next to Kenny's end. It's everybody excited.
Well, Coach, look, I appreciate the time here on the program. And last one for you before I let you go. Can you hear me right now? I don't know if you can hear me right now.
Yep.
Okay, great. I got you. Okay, Chase Young also said, and we're talking about how special is. I don't know if you're aware, he said that he wants to bring on Tom Brady. He actually said those words. What do you think is his coach?
Oh, yeah. I think he wants to play against the best. I really do. You know, that's him. He loves it.
Right.
I'll tell you this. When we're getting ready to play Pittsburgh,
yeah,
and we're going through warm-ups, and he sees Ben Roethlisberger, and he comes up to me and goes, damn, that's Ben Roethlisberger. Man, I tell you, this exciting coach is exciting. He said, I want to get to know Ben. And I said, relax, you'll get your chance. Well, so then he goes, warms up, and comes back. Now, Ben is closer to midfield, and we're standing over there at midfield. He just runs over there and shakes Ben's hand. I mean, he is so excited. He's a football guy. You know that expression? I want guys that love playing professional football,
right,
not being professional football players. That's Chase. He loves playing the game. He loves everything about the game. He gets excited. He gets excited about, this is Tom Brady. I'm going to be on the same field as Tom Brady. He's going to be on the same field as Gronkowski. I mean, that's the way he looks at it. I mean, it is such a kid-like attitude about the game. It's fun for him.
Okay. Then that's the way you're, because sometimes people say bring him on and they rue the word saying that. But you're saying it comes from a different place is what you're saying, Ron.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because I got to see how he was when he saw Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
That was cool. You know what I'm saying? It's like how I felt when I sat there and saw Joe Montana. I mean, you sit there and go, man, that's freaking Joe Montana. That's Are you kidding? That's very.
I love it. That's terrific. All right, Coach Coach Ron Rivera here on the Rich Eisen Show. Congrats on making the playoffs, winning the division, and continuing this remarkable and frequently painful and dramatic, but ultimately rewarding journey for you this year, Coach. I appreciate the time. That's Ron Rivera here. We were having trouble at the end of our conversation right here on the show. And that was some interesting storytelling right there. Know. That's Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, that's Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's going to be Tom Brady.
That's very depressing for me, Rich.
What is it?
Chase Young.
Because he's going to be...
Two times a year for the next 12 or so years, this guy's coming after my QB.
Defensive coordinator says, reminds me of Ray Lewis. And coach is like, yeah, people might be comparing him to Lawrence Taylor. Here's the thing about Lawrence Taylor, okay, that I kind of saw a little bit, that flashed for me. Lawrence Taylor could run down anybody, okay? He could run down anybody. And...
Why you whiffed all them?
Okay,
lights.
Right, and... The one guy he had kind of trouble with was Barry Sanders, who told us at the Super Bowl, Lawrence Taylor came up to him after he played Barry the first time. He goes, well, you got to get rid of this run and shoot thing. If you get a fullback, you're unstoppable, is what Lawrence Taylor told him. But pretty much even Randall Cunningham, he could, yeah. he can go hunt anybody. Last night, Jalen Hurts, he met him at the mesh point once, a human RPO exploder, Chase Young. There was another time where Hurts was running out of the pocket, and he tracked him down. Hurts is like, I think Hurts, I don't know what he ran at the combine. He's got to be like a 4.5, 4.6 guy, Hurts. Okay? He ran him down. And if he starts running somebody down.
4.59.
Okay. He starts running down somebody, and then that famed Lawrence Taylor slap as he's going to get somebody. So he's not only going to tackle, he's going to get the ball loose.
Yep.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know. Dak better be enjoying his rehab. Chase Young, man.
Poor Dak.
Is he better than either Bosa?
I'm not going to
go Nick, there. Nick, as you know, was defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hard to say after one season.
When you're in right now going against T.J. Watt this year and Aaron Donald. But Chase Young's up there. Chase Young, I don't know if he's top three right now. Jeremy Chinn has been dynamite for the Carolina Panthers. Nobody's talking about him, obviously, for the record as well. Defensive Rookie of the Year is Chase Young. And he's a defensive player of the year. He's that good. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one... Just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Your Dallas Cowboys, T.J. Jefferson, had a season to...
Forget?
Yeah. Yeah. And let's hope Dak comes back.
Yeah.
You know, Zeke finished well. The receiving core is...
Ooh, strong.
Strong.
Gallup.
Kellen Moore has been re-signed, so the offense is not going to change.
Mm.
The issue this year was, defensively,
yeah,
they switched up and didn't have the personnel to do that. All the Joneses were back here on our radio network. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys season. The Joneses admitted that they, should have eased more of a change defensively. The head coach, to me, got them playing strong towards the end. But a lot of the same things that he did, if Jason Garrett did, we'd be talking about he needs to be gone and he's the clapper.
Absolutely.
From the decisions that were made on Thanksgiving Day with the fake punt and all things like that, to inexplicably kicking extra points that are going for two down 20 to 15. I mean, for a guy who said basically I'm Mr. Analytics now, you know, I'm kind of born again as a coach, old school guy from Western PA with the Green Bay Packers, and analytics is part of everything, and I'm Mr. Analytics. All I did is just study analytics for a year, and you're down five and you kick an extra point instead of going for two. I mean, it's stuff like that that just makes your head explode.
Not challenging yesterday.
That was awful too.
I mean, I don't think it would have gotten overturned. I feel like he had control of the ball even though it touched the ground, but you still, how do you not challenge that play?
I've got, Steve Mariucci is my guy that I work with, who for a while it looked like he might go back to coaching when he first started with NFL Network.
Yeah, I thought so.
There were times a couple teams knocked on the door for him. And so I told him, if you ever go back to coaching, I need to be in charge of your review process. Like, I will take a few days off from work. I will fly to wherever you are, and I will be the person. You hand the audiovisual stuff to me, and I will find the person, interview the person on how to look at replays and set the system up on telling you when to challenge and when not to challenge. Like, I want to be in charge of that for you.
That's nice of you.
And because it's just mystifying to me how coaches don't challenge when they're supposed to, or challenge when it's obvious they shouldn't. You had a fun Instagram post over our break when Belichick was told to challenge against the Bills on Monday night, and it was a poor challenge, and he challenged, and it was obvious it wasn't going to go his way. Going to commercial break, that's it was fun. Obvious it wasn't going to go his way, and then they come back with the video of him reaming out whoever's in charge of this for him on the phone. He didn't hang up the phone. He threw the phone
at the phone bank.
Being a kid. Like, that's and that should be the reaction. It's just like, I've got enough going on here. And I would imagine that the system for New England is as buttoned up as anywhere else, just like everything else that Belichick does from his staff. And I don't understand how that gets challenged, how that did not get challenged. Yeah. I mean, you don't, like, how do they not know? Sometimes the challenge is rolled in late by the truck.
Yeah.
If there is such a truck anymore. I don't know if trucks exist
not
in the COVID
world
now. I don't know. But you are dependent on the television broadcast to show the replay in a timely fashion so you can see it.
Like, if you don't eyeball quick enough, I mean, I got to – the AAF, when they did the Sky Judge, was pretty interesting because they were watching monitors.
Mm-hmm.
If you look in all the coaches' booths, I don't always see monitors in front of them. So I don't know how they're – like, are they watching the game with, like, a spotter?
No, what they're doing is they're watching the game on a monitor – and
if they don't have them,
if they don't have it at time, but if I set up, if I set something up, there's one guy
may have it.
If I'm doing the system,
yep.
I have clearly the monitor for the truck, and then I've got another monitor where I could just scroll it back myself.
That's what they do. That's what they have.
So I would do it like I would scroll it back myself, and I'll be like, I don't even need to wait for the replay because I've got it here on DVR, Elvis, whatever you want to use.
They usually get three or four cameras, Rich. In like,
but there's just no excuse anymore.
No. Like I said, I don't know that it would have gotten overturned because it did seem as though he had control.
Speaking of the AAF, congratulations to the AAF, got their first starting quarterback win, John Walford.
Yeah.
Of the Arizona Hotshots.
They said that yesterday.
Came up with the W for the Los Angeles Rams yesterday.
I was like, wow.
And the Rams, man, I'll tell you what, in that game, the Rams' first-time quarterback looked like he had every rep all week long coached up. And the other kid, Chris Strelliver, looked like he didn't have much rep practice all week. And now, oh, by the way, go in, and that's Aaron Donald, and that's Jalen Ramsey. Good luck.
Exactly.
Good luck. Best of luck to you.
There's talk of it. They want Wolford. They want him to start next week.
I don't know. You know,
they're gonna have to.
Well,
they might not have to. I don't know. Look, I'm not here for the Goff hate. Jared Goff is a better.
Oh yeah, I mean he's your starter.
Is a better starting option than John Wolford against Jamal Adams and Bobby Wagner. Here we go. Let me take another phone. Do you have a news update over there, Chris?
Yeah, I got it. Just
all right, we'll get ready for that in a second. Let me take some phone calls. Some people have been waiting for 2 hours here. Al in Atlanta, let's take your call. What's up, Al?
Happy New Year, Rich.
Same to you, sir.
Three quick bullet points here. First off, did you get your box of product 19?
Did you send that to me, Al?
We did.
Yeah, I sent it like way back, and then I never remembered to like follow up on it.
I did get it, and I'm greatly appreciative. Did you leave? I don't know if there was any sort of note that you put in there. If there is,
well, my mom insisted if I'm sending one of her boxes, I have to give you a note.
Okay.
Be courteous. Okay. So I left you a note.
All right. Very good, and I appreciate that. But when we hang up, I don't hang up. We're just going to put you back on hold. And we're going to get your address from our call screener, Adam, okay? You give that to him, if you don't mind.
All right, thank you.
Mel, thank you. Appreciate it.
Second bullet point.
Yes.
TJ, I don't know if you remember this, but a couple of weeks back, I used you as a ploy for my hire register.
Okay.
And I claimed you might have jinxed your Cowboys. Well, you're welcome, because I took the jinx from you and at least gave you the hope that you were going to be able to have a team in the playoffs, because the Falcons just did not win a game after that.
Mm.
So I took that jinx from you.
I didn't really have hope, but thank you anyway.
And third, speaking of the 4-12 would be in fifth place in the NFC East Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a hard season, Rich.
I know, man. I'm so sorry that it happened. And Julio Jones just could not stay healthy. Gurley, as we all suspected in his last tenure with the Rams towards the end, is just not healthy. He's just not himself. He did have a nice first half of the season, and the second half just totally disappeared. And I honestly, all their plans, everything that they had set up, and I appreciate the call, Alan. Hang on, put him back on hold, Mike.
Think so.
You know, all their plans fell apart. I mean, what worked? Calvin Ridley a couple of years ago is what worked. I mean, what worked? Nothing worked.
Calvin Ridley balled this year.
I mean, it would be great if Julio Jones can actually stay healthy.
Yeah.
They've gotten better defensively, but I don't know what they do.
An interesting hire. That's just an interesting. Who do you hire? Do you stick with Raheem Morris?
Do you stick with Matt Ryan?
And then that's the question is what happens there? I would be stunned if they just. I mean, who would trade for that contract at this advanced age? I mean, it would have to be a Tampa Bay situation where somebody's like ready made. The quarterback is not, you know, healthy enough, or I mean, is not ready enough. Quarterback's too green. Similar to like Washington, Tampa, young team. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Matt Ryan in Washington, if Alex Smith decides to not play anymore or can't go anymore, it doesn't strike me somebody like that. Matt Ryan or Stafford, I know you want him in New England in the worst way.
The worst way.
I know. Matt Stafford in New England would be spectacular. You guys would be right
he's
back.
He's 31, 32. You got 6-7 years
I know.
Left.
Why would the Lions do that?
Because they haven't won anything.
Matt Ryan in New England. What about Matt Ryan back where he went to college?
Ryan's 36, 35.
So what?
I don't know.
Look at what Tampa's doing with a 43-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, if everything else is ready to go, the problem with New England is their receivers are just... N'Keal Harry could not be more terrible. Disappointing, and their receiving position is just... They're not ready-made there.
Terrible. Jacoby Myers is maybe the third or fourth guy.
Running back, I think you guys are pretty set.
Running back's good. Tight end, those guys they drafted two good tight ends. Terrible. Nothing. Zero production.
Do you have some news items over there?
I got some.
And we can finish up with some phone calls. Go for it, Chris Proffitt. Hey,
there we go. We're back.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, Someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever. It's Chris Brockman.
What do you have over there, Christopher?
Just a couple of things, Rich. Your guy, Jets CEO Christopher Johnson,
yes,
spoke a little bit today. Some quotes from Ralph Facchiano of SNY. Quote, I'm sick of losing.
Yeah, we all are.
I'm sick. I'm so tired of this, as are the players, as are the fans. Said he's a huge fan of Sam Darnold, thinks he's a great quarterback, think he has wonderful talent, drive, leadership. I don't think the book has been written on Sam. Very bright future. I personally hope he's on the team. That's what I told him after the game. I hope he's a Jet moving forward. That decision ultimately made by Joe Douglas and the new coach.
I'm sick of losing, too. The problem is they didn't lose enough. I can't say it enough.
But you're also one of the guys who likes Sam Darnold.
I do like Sam Darnold, but to me, Sam Darnold is proven to be a broken guy who needs another start somewhere else. Chris, the other day, and I've mentioned it a couple times, friends of mine who I've fortunate to get a couple rounds in over the last couple weeks. Yeah. I mentioned it to some people. Chris, we asked this the other day, and nobody's answered it differently than we did on the show the other day. What's more likely? Sam Darnold winds up, after all of this, being the guy and is becomes a model of what a New York athlete needs to be to tune everything out and have a thick skin and survive and take the Jets to the promised land anyway. Mm-hmm. Or Charlie Woods at age 11 showed that he can win as many green jackets as his dad. What's more likely? We all said, you know what? It's Charlie Woods winning as many green jackets as his dad.
And that's five. That's a lot.
And every single person says the same thing. And it's no disrespect intended to Sam Darnold. It's time to move on. You're second overall. You got to use this pick.
So who do you want? Do you want Fields?
I don't know yet.
Zach Wilson?
I don't know yet. Don't forget, the Jets still have Seattle's draft choice, and somebody could be down towards the middle of the back end. I mean, honestly.
You trade down a little bit, take Mac Jones?
I don't know. That's not my – we've got Daniel Jeremiah on tomorrow's show. I can't wait to ask him what his two cents are on this. DJ's going to come on to talk specifically about some of the players that we saw over the weekend.
Yeah.
But the Jets sitting there at two, when the Jaguars are sitting there,
the Dolphins
with and Trevor Lawrence is holding up the Jaguars jersey, how many Jets of that organization would be like, at least we didn't go 0-16. At least we don't have that stink on that franchise that we're breaking up anyway. At least, you know what? At least we had that day in Los Angeles. Remember that day in Los Angeles? Remember that day in L.A.?
Yeah, I remember.
Hey, at least you know what? When every single Browns receiver stood, you know, was out, we stood our ground. And we had such a great run defense, we forced Baker Mayfield to throw it 50-some-odd times. By the way, that happened. He threw it 50 times in that game. Yeah, he did. He did. Telling you, in the same way that the Eagles fans right now up in arms, we're talking about all of these headlines making rightful hay in roasting what the Eagles did last night in the fourth quarter of the entire country watching of a highly competitive game with so much on the line, that the Eagles are feeling the heat right now, and it sucks. It probably sucks to be Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson right now. And Jeff Lurie and that organization, they want to be known as the Philly Special, not the Philly Tank.
Okay? Tankadelphia.
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 Well done.
They
don't want to be known as that. It stinks right now. Yeah. It really stinks right now. You know what's not going to stink for them?
That draft pick.
Now on the clock, sixth overall, Philadelphia Eagles. You're on the clock. Mm. That one stink. When they choose sixth overall and they look at what nine could have been. Won't stink for them then.
They're looking at a mock draft.
I'm telling you. I would love to. Please. If you're a Jet fan or a member of the Jets organization, somehow, some way, reach me when I'm sitting there hosting the draft, when the Jets are on the clock, second overall. You're like, you know what? After watching Trevor Lawrence go right now, we had those days. Remember weeks 15 and 16 of that 2020 season? Yeah, we had those two wins.
This mock draft has you taking the Oregon tackle. So
that's what I'm hearing. He's supposed to be terrific, which is great. That's great. So I don't know how many points he and Becton can score together, but it'll be great.
You mentioned the Eagles. Howie Roseman spoke today, said he can't imagine the team moving on from Carson Wentz. Quote, when you have players like that, they're like fingers on your hand. You can't imagine that they're not part of you. that they're not here. That's how we feel about Carson.
Mike Garofalo, my colleague at the NFL Media Group, had a great line about that today in the 19 hours of live coverage on NFL Network. He goes, sometimes, you know, somebody takes the finger off your hand. You want a little Pope of Greenwich Village on everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Take four of Sir Davos's fingers.
Look, how in the world are you going to run it back with Carson Wentz? Jalen Hurts standing there with his helmet in his hand?
Don't know.
Fans in the stands, too. We're hoping, knock on wood. Look, but right now, honestly, Howie Roseman's job is exactly what his job is right now. Tamp out the flames of all that from last night and make everybody think you want Carson Wentz. Got to have it. Because you need value coming back.
You need a trade partner.
As much as you possibly can, because the value of Wentz is already going to be suppressed by the by that contract. So you need to make it sound like everybody wants Wentz and you want him too. That's your job. In the same way that the next general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars has two jobs. One is to spend now, the minute he is hired, all the way through the combine, at the end of the combine, and say, I am not married to one athlete. We are looking at everybody. You know, we have our board. We've set our board.
Yep. Looks good.
But I'm not married to one player.
Right.
Okay? Meaning, you know, I know everyone expects we're taking Trevor Lawrence. You want him, you call me up. I got a phone call. That's the subtext of that. And the other job is once the combine is over, all the way through to the draft, you call up every single friendly you have in the news media and you say to them, guess what I'm doing right now? I am watching the tape of Justin Fields against Clemson. Woo! Wow. This kid is something else.
Tough. Arm strength.
I mean, what a gig. And if he has anything close to that in Alabama, I am watching tape of him against Alabama.
A team full of pros.
And guess what? And then another version of it is like 3 weeks later. Guess what? We met Justin Fields today. Very impressive young man. That's the other job. That's the other job. Just in case the Jets are like, you know what? Those 2 weeks were so great against the Rams and the Browns. But you know what we're going to do? We'll just take that other pick that we got from Jamal Adams. We'll flip it to you for the right to draft to Trevor Lawrence. So we only were expecting one draft choice anyway. That whole Jamal Adams thing fell into our lap. We'll flip it to you to move up the one spot.
Just one quick big injury yesterday. We saw Mike Evans go down.
Yes.
That was not good. MRI today, though, no structural damage. Bruce Arians said saw him in the training room. Very little swelling. He's running around in the pool, hoping to get a practice in this week before their big wild card game.
There you go, man. Washington football team. That's all I'm saying. I just said those three words.
Okay, great.
Washington football team.
And lastly, big piece of NCAA basketball news. Men's tournament is going to host its entire postseason, all of March Madness in Indianapolis in a bubble-like format.
There you go. Got to do it.
Very cool. Got to do it.
Got to do it.
Selection Sunday, March 14th.
How about Steph Curry with 62 last night, huh?
I was watching some of that. Oh, baby.
It's so great.
It's great. It's great having Steph back. Wish Clay was there, too, but that was awesome last night.
There you go. He's going to have to, it's going to have to be like year
two,
year three out of Davidson, Steph.
Yeah. He's going to have to
go
nuts.
We need that. We need to see it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to Nathan in L.A. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, Rich. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. What's going on in
your
mind?
I am, in fact, one of those Giant fans who actually was rooting for Washington yesterday.
Why is that?
And that is because, well, first of all, of course, it's a lot easier to stomach rooting for Washington than rooting for the Eagles if
right.
you're a Giant fan. We would rather enjoy watching them operate so ineptly as they chose to last night. But number two, more appropriately, of course, is that we gain, I don't know, 10 to 12 draft positions. And, you know, we're not picking, much as, you know, those 12 draft positions or whatever that is, to me, is much more valuable right now than the division title would be in this particular year with this particular team.
No, I know that, but you also have a new head coach. You've got a quarterback that, you know, it still does have the shadow of Eli that he is toiling in. You know, and I'm telling you again, and I thanks for the call. You go back and forth on it. Because, again, I have been, and I want to be consistent, and I sat here for weeks and months talking about how the Jets needed to forego winning, forego the concept of not winning. To paraphrase, because I can't quote directly, Marcellus from Pulp Fiction talking to Bruce Willis. That's just pride messing with your mind. Don't listen to pride and just flip them the envelope of cash in the form of Trevor Lawrence. So I can't sit here and say you should not win the division because you're right. The difference between your draft choice being in the bottom half of the first round because you won a division and getting boat raced by Tom Brady, it looks a lot better when you're sitting there at 6-10 in the top 10 of the draft. That's for darn sure, when you clearly could use the top 10 pick so you don't finish 6-10 the next year. But on Saturday night, okay, when everybody's settling in and watching Washington football team versus Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on the back end of the first triple header of a wild card Saturday, this is going to mean a lot. It's going to mean a lot for the Washington football team. The last thing you could ever call, and I'll say it, the Washington Redskins, the last thing you could ever call the Washington Redskins is a feel-good story. Ever. All you got to do is Google the organization in the Washington Post. That's all you got to do. But guess who's a feel-good story Saturday night? The Washington football team, Ron Rivera, Alex Smith, and Antonio Gibson, and Terry McLaurin, and Logan Thomas, and Chase Young, just to name a few, are going to get playoff experience. Can they get boat raced by Tampa? Maybe. But they're going to get playoff experience, and they're going to be able to walk around thinking, we were champions in that division. And you know who can't right now? Daniel Jones, Joe Judge, Jabril Peppers, Darius Slayton, Evan Engram, who could use that sort of confidence boost.
Use something.
I mean, the Jets weren't close to winning the AFC East. As a matter of fact, just so I can get it all out of my system today, because, you know, there's still lots more to be said here in this microphone. First year without Tom Brady in the AFC East. Basically, you've gotten rid of the warlord from your seven kingdoms. They're out. He's out. He's gone.
The warlord.
Okay, so what's going on now? What happens now? Well, Buffalo Bills, how do you handle it? We're going to win 13 games the first time since 1991, and we're going to win a division. Okay. Miami, what are you going to do? We're going to win 10 games.
Impressive.
Okay. We're going to win 10 games and be the team that personally makes sure the Patriots don't have a winning record by beating them in week 15 and assure the Patriots of having a non-winning record for the first time since 2002. That's what we're going to do. Hey, Jets, what are you going to do? we'll get swept by the Patriots. But we're going to win two meaningless games to make sure we don't get the player that does the best. It gives us the best shot to finally get ours against New England. And I say this on the day, January 4th, was the day back in, what was it, 2000. Right? I think this is the 21st anniversary of the famous cocktail napkin. I resign as the HC of the NYJ on this date.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man, what a great day.
Where New England then went ahead and traded for Bill Belichick. And the rest, as we can say, is history. At the time, it was, what are they doing? Just giving all that capital up. I'm telling you, don't live in the moment in the NFL when the absolute possible brightest horizon staring you in the face. How did I get on this subject? I don't even recall. From the Washington football team. You know. So you grab the brass ring is what I'm saying. I can't sit here and tell Giants fans that this wouldn't have been helpful for. We'll see what happens when they choose where they choose as opposed to where they would have chosen if they had gotten the help from the Philadelphia Eagles. But to be able to say, you know, hey, we were 1-7, but we still won a division. That means a lot.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.